Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAOddsBreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC 212 event, which takes place in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. If you're unfamiliar with our format, myself and Nick will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, we won 4.4 units for UFC Fight Night 109 after going 2-0 on our premium bets. We also went 1-0 on our free bet on Trevor Smith for a 1.58 unit profit. Back to the present, UFC 212 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass, Fox Sports 1, and pay-per-view this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking off the preliminary card on Fight Pass is a flyweight contest between Marco Beltran, who is 8-5, and Davison Figueiredo, who is 11-0. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Figueiredo minus 175, the comeback on Beltran at plus 135. Looking over at our sponsor sportsbook, fivedimes.eu, currently Five Dimes has Figueiredo at minus 140 and Beltran at plus 120. So about a 15-cent drop on the dog, meaning that there probably is a little bit more dog action coming in on this fight. I'm a little bit surprised by that because, I mean, obviously Beltran is one of those guys from the tough series, Latin America series, that has actually done okay, meaning that he's improved and he's getting better. He's training with Yair Rodriguez and crew, and you could tell he's got potential. I mean, with his frame, especially for 125 pounds, now that he's dropping to flyweight, the guy definitely has some length and some potential because he's got skill on the feet. He's got some ground skill as well. He's getting more confident. He's getting better fight by fight. I know he had a setback in his last fight against Soto, but you know what? I mean, I think Soto's experience and just the style of the fight, and he was able to submit him on the ground. I don't think we're going to see that with Figueiredo here. I don't think it's going to be as much of a test in that regard. I mean, I think Soto's just a little bit more intelligent of a fighter. He's more of a savvy vet than Figueiredo is at this point. So Beltran's not going to have to probably deal with those kind of issues. Although Figueiredo has a well-rounded game in his own right, not counting anything out from him either. But he is a hyped prospect. A lot of people think that this guy is a really legit fighter at 125 pounds. Watching some footage on him, I'm not sure. I'm on the fence with him, to be honest with you here. But getting into him a little bit, he is more of a striking-based fighter. I mean, he throws big punches, pushes forward, Figueiredo does, that's who I'm talking about right now. He does tend to get a little bit sloppy, though, and he leaves openings to the point where his defense is actually really bad. I mean, he's been dropped in fights. His aggression is not a good thing for him as far as just standing in control and then people counter-punching him and having success in doing so. So if Figueiredo gets his defense tightened up a little bit and controls his aggression, I think he's going to be a lot better. But he is a jungle fight product, so he's faced some decent competition outside of the UFC. I mean, that's one of the best organizations out that are in Brazil for sure, and outside of the UFC, it's a well-known organization. So he's an undefeated prospect from them. Again, he's got a well-rounded game, and he's got basically one speed on him, and that's just full go. So he's going to be a dangerous opponent for most people. Like I said, can Beltran capitalize on this? Because he does have the more well-rounded technical game. If Figueiredo does make a mistake or two along the way, I think Beltran probably can capitalize on it. So for me, I guess until Figueiredo proves me right or wrong and comes in and looks a little bit cleaner and looks dominant in this fight, I guess I have to lean a little bit more towards Beltran. It's not a confident pick, though, because, again, the aggression and the ability that Figueiredo possesses, I think he's going to come into the UFC looking a little bit cleaner and a little bit better than he did on tape. So if that's the case, then he could definitely win this fight. But for me, until I see him perform at this level and a little bit cleaner at this level, I have to go with Beltran. So I'm going to pick Beltran to pull off the slight upset win here.
The main thing I like about Beltran is just the fact that he's been in the UFC a while now. This will be his fifth fight, I believe, or at least his fourth. And Figueiredo never competed in the UFC. I mean, yeah, he's undefeated, but you look at his tape and he's very sloppy and wild and crazy aggressive. Now, Beltran is that too. So I mean, do you really want to risk everything in a fight where, you know, both guys are just swinging haymakers from the hip potentially? I think Beltran has just as much power as Figueiredo. I think, Beltran is going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. For me, it's all about how this weight cut goes for Beltran. I mean, the guy's been fighting bantamweight his entire career, and now he's dropping down to flyweight. So if the weight cut goes well and he doesn't look like death on the scale, I just really like Beltran. I think he can bully Figueiredo a little bit. I think he can eat the punches a little bit better. I think his striking defense is slightly better. So, if they get into a firefight, I think Beltran will be the one avoiding a few more punches and landing more punches. So, I like Beltran as well. It's just all about that weight cut. So, if the weight cut goes well, I'm definitely siding with Marco Beltran. So, he'll be my pick. Now, moving up to the welterweight division, we have Luan Chagas, who is 14-1-1, taking on Jim Wallhead, who is 29-10. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds maker's perspective on this one?
Up in Chagas, minus 165. The comeback on Wallhead at plus 125. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it is currently Chagas minus 255. The comeback on Wallhead is plus 215. A little bit surprised because it was a little bit lower last I checked. So action is coming in Chagas's way. I do get it. I mean, Jim Wallhead has been one of those guys throughout his career that I've respected greatly. I mean, he's been a Cage Warriors veteran. So he's been competing, obviously, in the Euro scene for a while, training with the likes of Dan Hardy back in the day. I mean, he's been around the sport for a long time. So he's been around long enough where he should have had a shot well before this into the UFC. But I'm glad he finally did get a shot. And, of course, he did compete in Bellator as well and had some success there, had some losses there. Right now, he's actually, I think, hitting his groove, and he's probably the smartest he's ever been. Now, I don't know if his body's going to agree with that because he's 37 years old now, so he's beyond the prime of his career. But I think mentally, and it just at all ends of MMA, I think he's better. He's more defined. He's sharper than he's ever been as far as that aspect goes. But again, the body is one thing and your mind's another. So I don't know if they're going to match up well enough and how long he's going to be able to keep his job on the roster here, because Chagas is going to be a tough fight for him. I think Chagas is one of these guys. He's still young. He's only 23 years old. And so far in the UFC, he's been up and down a little bit. And obviously, in my opinion, his last fight with Eric Silva was disappointing, although it was a competitive fight, but he did start to gas and he let Eric Silva take over. And then obviously Eric Silva was able to choke him out there towards the end of that fight. So don't like to see the cardio issues with him. But against Moraes in his UFC debut on short notice, I mean, not getting submitted and going to a close competitive draw with Moraes is not necessarily a bad thing. So you can see the potential in Chagas' game. Now, primarily, he's a striking-based fighter. He has a well-rounded game, though. He's got some ground skill as well, so he can submit you on the ground. But I think his best attribute that I feel is just standing and banging. I mean, his technique is not bad. He's got power behind it. He mixes things up well, and he is the type of fighter that pushes forward and goes after it. So I think this fight probably stays upright, and if it does, Chagas is going to have the advantage and probably ends up catching Wallhead along the way. As this fight progresses, though, I think it could swing to Wallhead's favor. So if you guys are betting this fight, there's no way I would touch Chagas at minus 255 at this point. If you got in under 2-1, I understand it. I could respect that. You probably got a little bit of value, but over 2-1, you got to stay away from Chagas because of his cardio, I mean, mainly. So I think this is going to be a firefight, but Chagas is going to have the edge. But again, as it goes, Wallhead could survive long enough to start taking over maybe late round two or possibly round three, even getting some takedowns, because we've seen Chagas's takedown defense is pretty good. But as it goes, he could get in a bad spot or lose a scramble or whatnot and end up on his back. And if that's the case, I mean, Wallhead could have some success. So from a betting perspective, where the line is right now, I would stay away from Chagas. But as a pick, I got to go his way. I think he's a younger, fresher fighter. I think he does have more potential, and hopefully he gets that cardio a check, because if he does, this guy's going to win some fights at 170 pounds, no doubt. So my pick is Chagas.
I have to side with Chagas as well. He is so much younger than Jim Wallhead. Wallhead's entering this fight at 37 years old. Now, Wallhead does have some power. He does have that ability to secure top position when he is on the ground with that judo base. But, I mean, he's not a super strong wrestler or anything. And if you look back at his last fight, I mean, UFC debut against Ayari, he got outstruck for the first two rounds before finally picking up the pace a little bit in the third. And Jari is not exactly a world beater. I mean, this is a guy that just got smoked in his second UFC fight. So, I was not that impressed with Jim Wallhead. I think, he was probably a better fighter when he was fighting at 155. And, you know, he's just more of that veteran that didn't feel like cutting a lot of weight anymore. So, against Lewin Chagas, I think Chagas is just going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit longer. I think he's going to hit hard. Chagas probably won't be able to keep up with Wallhead's conditioning, but it's not like Wallhead pushes an insane pace either. Like, Wallhead likes to stalk down his opponents, but he doesn't really punish them enough. So, I think with the age difference and everything, I think there's a good chance that Chagas can connect with some really nasty shots at some point in the first round or two, maybe even finish Wallhead. I'm a little concerned as this fight wears on with Chagas slowing down, but it is in Brazil. I think his conditioning will be a little bit better this time around, especially on a full training camp. So I'm going to side with Chagas. I think he has a lot more potential than Jimmy Wallhead. Now dropping down to the women's strawweight division, we have Viviane Pereira, who is 12-0, taking on Jamie Moyle, who is 4-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Pereira, minus 170, the comeback on Moyle at plus 130. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it is currently Pereira minus 130. The comeback on Moyle is at plus 110. So more action coming in Moyle's way. Moyle is a little bit more well-recognized for the diehards that have been watching Invicta and following The Ultimate Fighter, all that stuff. I mean, definitely she has earned respect because she's been fighting against some really good competition throughout her career and has hung in there pretty well against most of those fighters that have been of that level or of that talent. So Moyle overall, she's a pressure fighter. She's a grinder. She has really good wrestling, good ground and pound overall as well. And she likes to be on top and just pound away and try to look for some submissions. Possibly she's not really known for her sub game, but I mean, she's smart enough that if the opportunity is there, she's the type of person that'll take it. But more so than anything, she likes to pressure you, get you on the ground and just start working her ground and pound and controlling things. Now her stand up game isn't bad either. She's got a little bit of pop in her punches, but she needs to improve it. I think against Pereira here, she's going to actually struggle in the stand up because I think Pereira, she hasn't really showed what she's capable of quite yet. I know her debut win over Laterna was very close, very competitive. She had times where I pretty much wanted to see her do a little bit better, meaning more aggression and push a little bit higher pace. Cause I think if she would have pushed a higher pace from the beginning, it would have been an easier fight for her. So at times she gets a little bit laid back and you want her to put her foot on the gas. But overall, again, it was her debut. And I think she's going to do better things now. She's going to have confidence under her belt. I mean, being successful against Laterno, a savvy vet that gets respect in your debut is only going to make you more confident. So I think that's what we're going to see here with Pereira and getting into her style a little bit. She's a short, powerful, you know, all around fighter as well. She's got strong ground and pound. She's a grinder as well in her own right. I think her boxing is actually pretty good. I mean, she is going to have an advantage standing up over Moyle in this fight. I think she uses her hands really well, her timing as well. And I think, again, if she puts her foot on the gas a little bit more, she's going to give Moyle a lot of fits standing up. And I think that's probably where this is going to go. Now, Moyle is going to look to take this fight to the ground. I think Pereira can get put on her back, but she does tend to scramble up well. And she also has a bit of a jiu-jitsu game as well. So it's not going to be easy for Moyle on the ground with her. And I think standing up is where Pereira is going to have most of her success, as I mentioned. So I think it's going to be a close competitive battle because you have two quality women here at 115 pounds. And I think the winner is going to probably be a slight edge towards Pereira. I think she's going to come out with a 29-28 type of decision, close competitive fight. So it'll be good. 2-0 for Pereira in her UFC start. Not bad. I think the sky's the limit for her. I just wish she had a little bit more size. I mean, she's only 5'1". Like I said, she's kind of short, a powerful frame, but we'll see. I mean, if the UFC eventually opens up more weight classes, maybe she can drop down to 105. But for now, I still think she has success at 115 pounds. And I think this is a really good fight and another good test for her to see how far she can go. So my official pick will be Pereira.
I agree that Pereira eventually will be fighting at 105 when the UFC creates that women's division. But for now, she's doing just fine. I mean, UFC debut, she takes on the former title challenger that gave Joanna Jędrzejczyk a pretty tough fight in Valerie Letourneau, and she won. I mean, it was a close competitive decision, but I mean, she was giving up a ton of size in that fight, and she was still able to eke out a split decision. Now, against Jamie Moyle, size isn't as big of an issue. Moyle's only 1 inch taller. They have about the same reach. And Pereira is going to be so much more technically sound and powerful with her striking, and Pereira has a better overall submission game. The one advantage Moyle may have is I can see her getting top position a couple times, and I can also see Moyle trying to out-volume Pereira just with a ton of strikes, but I think Pereira just lands the cleaner shots. She had issues with accuracy in her debut, but, I mean, Letourneau had almost double her reach. It was ridiculous. So this is a bit of a step down for Pereira, and now she's fighting somebody about her own size. So I think she's going to look really good. She's in Brazil. Everything's in her favor here, and I expect that Pereira doesn't just win, but I think she wins impressively. Now, moving on to the Fox Sports 1 prelims, we have a bantamweight contest between Yuri Alcantara, who is 34-7 with one no contest, taking on UFC newcomer Brian Kelleher, who is 16-7. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I open Alcantara -245, the comeback on Kelleher at +175. This line has been bet up a little bit. Alcantara right now at five dimes is -330. The comeback on Kelleher is at +270. Man, it's hard to bet or even pick sometimes Alcantara fights because the guy, as we all know, is very talented. I mean, the guy is good everywhere the fight takes place. He's capable of beating you on the feet. He's got power on the feet. He mixes things up. He can beat you with his boxing. He can beat you with his kicking. He's fun to watch, really. And even on the ground, the guy has pretty decent wrestling offensively. He's got a great ground game. You put him on his back. I mean, he's got good takedown defense, especially early on in a fight. But you put him on his back, he's capable of submitting you off his back as well. So you cannot basically take a second to relax against a guy like Alcantara, because if you do, he's going to end up finishing the fight and making you just kind of scratch your head a little bit on how he does it. He's that slick. I mean, he's a finisher. And he's a great fighter. The problem is with Alcantara in the past is his cardio. I mean, his cardio has definitely hindered him. He's 36 years old now. I don't know. I'm starting to think that he's definitely, even though he's performing okay, he's going to hit that decline spot eventually here soon, I think. He has been training with Greg Jackson's camp, and I think that that move really has helped him. Even his conditioning has been a little bit better. But I still don't trust him enough. Especially at 330 where the line is now, there's no way. And again, against a guy like Kelleher, which Kelleher is one of these guys that, in my opinion, is a savvy vet. He's been around for a long time fighting on the smaller organizations, but he finally kind of has momentum on his side and he caught his groove. He finally got to where he wants to be as far as rounding out his skill set and finishing decent fighters off and just – his competition level, he's always faced decent fighters outside of the UFC. So he hasn't had an easy path to get to the UFC. But he's lost a lot of those early on in his career. Now I believe he's on like a 6-fight win streak, somewhere around there. I could be wrong. But in that 6-fight win streak, he's faced decent competition and he's beating this competition. He's finishing some, he's decisioning others. Keller is at this point of his career, a hungry fighter that has been waiting to get into the UFC. And now he's getting his opportunity on somewhat short notice. But from what I hear, he's prepared mentally and physically, and this is going to be a scrap. Getting into his style a little bit more for Kelleher, I mean, he's an aggressive fighter. I mean, he's another one of these guys that likes to basically grind fighters out. He's an okay striker, has a little bit of power on the feet, and really on the ground, I mean, he's able to get some takedowns. He has a wrestling background as well, and once he gets you on the ground, he's aggressive. I mean, he looks for ground and pound, looks to finish you on the ground as well. During scrambles, he might take your back, he might grab a choke. So he is a very aggressive offensive fighter, and he looks for the kill. Now in this fight against Alcantara, he is going to have a few disadvantages. I mentioned one, it's going to be a little bit on short notice. He doesn't seem to have cardio issues, so I'm not sure how much that's going to impact him. And he's kind of been sitting on the shelf waiting for this call from the UFC, and he figured it would be on short notice. So I think he's going to be prepared, and he's going to be hungry, and he's going to come in and probably not gas out against Alcantara. But Alcantara is going to have a significant reach advantage over Kelleher, and he's also, again, going to be a southpaw, which can throw some fighters off, and he's going to be in his backyard in Brazil. So there are definitely some things going against Kelleher in this fight. I'm going to pick Alcantara. to win this fight. And again, not a confident pick because I think it is a dog or pass situation. I'm going to say that pretty clear here. There's no way, again, I would go 330 on Alcaterra where Kelleher is kind of catching and hitting his groove right now. He's got confidence coming into this fight. Alcaterra in the past, we've seen his kryptonite against guys that could take him down, control him a little bit and avoid getting submitted. So I think this is going to be a really close fight. It's going to be a competitive fight. We could see a finish either way. I wouldn't be surprised by that either. It's going to be a fun scrap. So I'll lean a little bit more towards Alcaterra with some of the advantages that he has, but it's definitely a dog or pass situation. And again, I'm going to make note early on in this podcast, as I mentioned in the last one, make sure you guys all tune in to our staff picks, MMAoddsbreaker.com staff picks, because that's what's going to be our final selections here. But as of right now, I'm leaning a little bit more towards Alcaterra, but our official picks will be out with the staff picks section of MMAoddsbreaker.com.
I think this fight's a little bit more straightforward. Kelleher is talented. He has a good ground game. He's a good veteran out of a Ring of Combat in America. But my issue with him is this is his UFC debut and it's on short notice. And not only is it a UFC debut on short notice, but it's in hostile territory in Brazil and he's taking on a top 15 ranked opponent. Like if he was coming in against, somebody that was just a middle-of-the-pack guy or a lower tier bantamweight, I think he'd have a decent chance because he does have a strong skill set. But against Yuri Alcantara, even if he is a little older now, man, this is just a really, really tough UFC debut, especially in hostile territory. So, I mean, Alcantara hits like a truck. He has a solid grappling game in his own right. This guy has been submitting some pretty dangerous opponents in recent fights or knocking people out, like hurting them on the feet and then submitting them. His finish of Luke Sanders really caught me by surprise because Sanders is really, really good. I mean, Sanders was winning that fight and then just boom, out of nowhere, knee bar type of situation. And then Brad Pickett, he just destroyed Brad Pickett. So unless you are a frenetic wrestler with a crazy gas tank like Frankie Sane's, I don't think you can take Alcantara down and keep him down, especially because Alcantara's conditioning has gotten better. So I know Alcantara's a little bit more vulnerable now. I mean, Sanders was beating him up pretty good, but you can't count him out of fights now. I think his conditioning is getting a lot better despite the fact that he's 36 years old. So unless Kelleher can take him down and keep him down while avoiding submissions or anything else, I think this is Alcantara's fight to win or fight to lose. So I'm going to side with Alcantara. I think he can knock Kelleher out on the feet, and I think that he could potentially submit Kelleher on the ground. So my pick is going to be Alcantara. Now, sticking with the bantamweight division, we have Johnny Eduardo, who is 28-10, taking on Matthew Lopez, who is 9-1. Now, Nick, where'd you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Lopez, -150, the comeback on Eduardo at +110. Right now, looking over five times, it's Lopez -200. The comeback on Eduardo is at +170. So a little bit more action coming in Lopez's way. I do agree with the early action this time. A little bit surprised because Eduardo has some hype and he's obviously been doing fairly well overall in his UFC career. But I think the performance that Lopez had being a decent dog in his last fight against Gagnon really has opened up the eyes of a lot of people. Now, even in his fight against Yaya, in his debut, he was doing good early on in that fight. But just the grappling exchanges with a guy like Yaya just wears you out to the point where he did gas and Yaya was able to take advantage of that late in the fight. So against Gagnon, he had a more preparation for that fight. He got his UFC debut out of the way, and he looked really good doing so. So this is going to be a tough fight for Eduardo. Again, that's why I do agree with the early action coming in on Lopez's way. Eduardo has pretty decent takedown defense. He's a great striker. We all know that. He trains with the likes of Jose Aldo and all those guys over in Brazil too. So he comes from a good camp and a type of camp that obviously works on their takedown defense and has succeeded in doing so. Their takedown defense for the most part for all these strikers that they have has been really noticeably well. They have it down pat. It's hard to take these guys down and control them. And most of the time, if you don't do that, they end up beating you up on the feet. And this is exactly what Eduardo's plan is here. He's a very good striker. And again, has decent takedown defense, but he does make some mistakes from time to time, and he's able to, you're able to get him on the ground if you transition properly. I mean, if you look at it, for example, I'm talking about his fight with Aljamain Sterling. Sterling was able to get him to the ground, and once on the ground, gave him all sorts of fits and was able to choke him out ultimately as well. So Eduardo has a little bit of kryptonite. Lopez can't expose it, and I think that's what it's going to come down to here. Lopez on the feet isn't out of his realm, but he's not going to really want to stand and bang with Eduardo. Eduardo is more precise. I think he's a little bit faster when it comes to his counter-punching ability as well. And, man, he's got nasty leg kicks. So that those leg kicks, you don't want to let Eduardo get those off and start tearing up your leg, because those takedowns are not going to come easy after that. So Lopez is going to have to get to work early. He's going to have to try to get this fight to the ground and have some success doing so. And I think he probably will, though. I think he ends up grinding Eduardo out a little bit, getting him on the floor, and then maybe even finishing there on the floor as well. So my pick is going to be Lopez. And, again, I do agree with your early action. I'm sure we're going to see some two-way action coming in this fight as well, because Eduardo, with this big of a dog, with people respecting him and some of the what he's accomplished in the UFC thus far, I'm sure there's going to be some buyback there as well. But I think the side is Lopez. I think he's going to have another solid win on his resume. So we'll see what's ahead for Lopez. I think that he's definitely has a promising career at 135 pounds just because of his skill set. So the pick is Lopez.
Johnny Eduardo is super talented, but my issue with him is he just hasn't been active. And when he has been active, most recently, it didn't look so great. So I think in this fight against Matthew Lopez, a guy that wants this fight to get it to the floor, that wants to grapple, I really like Matthew Lopez. I mean, Eduardo looked good against Manny Gamburian, but that's a veteran, a guy that doesn't have a great chin. And I think this time around, he's just not going to have a lot of opportunities to showcase his striking. When he's able to stand and bang with people, he looks great. I mean, Eddie Wineland, Jeff Curran, Manny Gamburian, none of those guys were able to get takedowns against him, and he was able to win all those fights. But against Aljamain Sterling, I mean, that guy just took him down and destroyed him. He landed 4 strikes total in the fight compared to Sterling's 2 takedowns and eventual submission. So I'm not saying that Lopez is as good of a grappler as Aljamain Sterling, at least with the wrestling, but I think that he can close the distance, take Eduardo out of his game, and especially with Eduardo's age, I mean, you got to remember, he's 38 years old. I think a young gun like Matthew Lopez, who wants to come into Brazil and make a statement, I think this is a great opportunity for him, and I think that he does take Eduardo out of his realm and gets this fight to the floor and either wins a decision or potentially a submission. So I'm going to side with Matthew Lopez. Now moving up to the middleweight division, we have Antonio Carlos Jr., who is 8-2 with 1 no contest, taking on Eric Spicely, who is 10-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Helping Carlos Jr. -215, the comeback on Spicely at +165. Right now looking over 5 dimes, it's -225 for Jr., the comeback on Spicely at +185. So basically staying where it currently is, some action coming in on Jr., some action will be back in on Spicely as well. So there'll be some 2A action on the sports books for this fight. And it is kind of a head scratcher. I mean, you have grappler versus grappler going at it, and man, has Spicely's grappling looked off the charts. And even before the Ultimate Fighter, or before, you know, his official UFC debut, we all knew that his grappling was what got him, you know what I mean? If you follow him previously in his career in some of the smaller organizations, you knew that Spicely was definitely a great grappler, capable of finishing most fights on the ground. So you knew that that was his bread and butter. And I'm glad he's been able to show it in the UFC, because obviously he had a pretty sketchy start. I mean, losing in the Ultimate Fighter, of course, and then coming in and getting submitted by Alvey was kind of a head scratcher. That's not what you would expect to happen in that fight with Alvey. Alvey is known for his knockout power. And of course, like I said, Spicely actually has a ground edge. So getting caught in that choke that he did is pretty slick from Alvey. You got to give him credit for it. But that being said, Spicely was able to rebound and he was a huge underdog to Thiago Santos, and he was able to get that fight to the ground and and end up submitting Santos. And then, of course, DeChirico in his last fight as well. I mean, that shows you what kind of capability he has. He got the fight to the ground relatively quick and it was able to submit him as well. So Spice Lee, he's a type of fighter that he doesn't have the greatest wrestling, but his trip takedowns and his body lock takedowns, he's able to often get the fight to the ground without having a great, great wrestling shot. So he is able to do that, and you always have to be cautious with a guy like that. Now, Carlos Jr. definitely has the edge in his fight. That's why he is favored, because he has a great ground game. He's a hard guy to submit, and on the feet, he's actually pretty decent. I mean, he's getting better fight by fight, and I think he's going to have a huge advantage over Spice Lee on the feet here. He's going to be bigger. He's going to be stronger, and again, he's going to have the striking edge here. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if Junior is able to get this fight to the ground and have top position, because I think Junior is the better pure wrestler. The problem with Junior is his conditioning is definitely a question mark, even though at times he's been able to go three rounds. I realize that, but still, you can never honestly trust him too much. I mean, after what we've seen so far in his UFC career, he's been a little bit up and down, in my opinion. So that being said, this is going to be an interesting fight, because even in Junior's last fight, in Carlos Junior's last fight against Vittori ended up taking his back up against the cage, ended up getting top position on the ground. You cannot let Spice Lee do that. If Spice Lee gets your back, you're in all sorts of trouble. He's going to be a blanket. He's not going to let you off the hook. And in most cases, he's going to end up putting in that rear naked choke and submitting you, even if you do have decent submission defense like Carlos Jr. So if Carlos Jr. fights a smart fight, he should be able to honestly breeze through this fight. I think he's just so much better as far as stylistic matchup for Spice Lee. I mean, he's going to be able to probably keep it upright, and he's going to be able to knock Spice Lee out, or at least just pick him apart on the feet as well. But if he does make that mistake and let Spice Lee take his back or get top position on the ground, he's going to be some trouble here. So this is a head scratcher in a way, because I know Spice Lee is going to try to implement that game plan, and I'm not sure if Carlos Jr.'s fight IQ is good enough to avoid it. So I'm going to side with Carlos Jr. a little bit, because he does have the skill to win his fight, and really he should. It's his fight to win or lose. But another one that you can't really be ultra confident in, because Jr. does make those mistakes. So the pick is Jr., and again, we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, the main difference between these guys is Antonio Carlos Jr. is dangerous on the feet. Spice Lee really isn't much of a threat. He's more just biding his time when he's standing, while Antonio Carlos Jr., he's got some serious pop. I mean, he hasn't really showcased a ton on the feet since his time on The Ultimate Fighter Brazil, where he was knocking people out left and right in the heavyweight division. But since moving to middleweight, it's been more of a bit more of a grappling focus for him, getting top position, either looking for submissions or ground and pound or riding fights out. Against Eric Spice Lee, I think that he'd be playing with fire a little bit, though. I mean, Spice Lee is a really talented grappler. I mean, this guy has picked up back-to-back impressive submission victories, and if Antonio Carlos Jr. screws around too much a little bit, then I can see Spice Lee potentially, you know, getting a dominant position, maybe even tapping him out. I mean, I don't think anybody's been able to tap him out yet, but I mean, he has been finished by Dan Kelly. So Spice Lee, he's all about closing the distance. I mean, one thing that did concern me was Antonio Carlos Jr. I mean, even though he won his last fight against Vittori, I mean, he gave up his back randomly a couple times, gave up some bad positions, and Vittori maybe wasn't able to take advantage of those positions quite as well, but Spice Lee could. So if Spice Lee is able to get those dominant positions, there could be an upset here. But if Carlos Jr. can just keep this fight at striking range and just blast Spice Lee, he should be able to win. I mean, Spice Lee doesn't have the greatest chin. He got knocked out by Andrew Sanchez on The Ultimate Fighter. And I think Antonio Carlos Jr. hits way harder than Andrew Sanchez. So I'm going to side with Antonio Carlos Jr. But again, this guy is very unreliable. And you just never know when his next big disappointment is going to be. And it could be this fight. But I'm going to pick Antonio Carlos Jr. for now. Now, dropping down to the bantamweight division, we have a very interesting battle for the main event of the preliminary card. We have Rafael Assuncao, who is 24-5, taking on UFC newcomer and former World Series of Fighting champion Marlon Moraes, who is 18-4-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Tough line to set, especially with Moraes being kind of the outside fighter that everybody's talking about, of course, World Series of Fighting, bantamweight champion that a lot of people have been waiting to see get signed in the UFC against a proven top contender at bantamweight in the Sun Tzu. So tough one. I opened Moraes minus 165, the comeback on the Sun Tzu at plus 125. Sled edge to Moraes over, again, a highly ranked UFC title contender in the Sun Tzu. So that tells you what kind of respect I gave him right away. And then looking at the current line right now, it is at five dimes with Moraes actually minus 170, the comeback in the Sun Tzu plus 150. So a 5 cent move on the favorite, the dog, of course, line margins have tightened up. So the dog is now increased a little bit as well. Now, this is a tough fight. I mean, Moraes, the edge that he has here is definitely in the striking. Now, I'm not saying that a Sun Tzu is not a good striker, because we all know that he is. I mean, he's capable of winning the fight anywhere. He's got good wrestling, as Sun Tzu does. He has good striking ability, his movements well. He's been in there with the best of the best, and he succeeded against a lot of them. And the ones that he's lost have been all relatively close. So a Sun Tzu is legit, and a win over a Sun Tzu for your UFC debut definitely throws you right in the mix of title contention, which a lot of people wanted to see Moraes be in anyway. I mean, a lot of, again, believers out there and diehards have waited for this opportunity to get Moraes in the UFC because he's such a talented fighter. But make no mistake, where it's at for Moraes is his striking ability. I mean, the guy has speed, he's got power, he's got it. I mean, fight IQ to go along with it. He's got good conditioning. He trains with a quality camp with Edgar and crew, of course, Frankie Edgar and those guys. So he has good training partners. He's been ready for the UFC for a while. And getting that championship under his belt in a different organization certainly does not hurt his confidence. So the guy's a proven winner, and he's going to come into this fight with some confidence, even though he's fighting, again, a legit top contender at 135 pounds. So I think this is going to play out, and it's going to be an ultra-close competitive fight, and I think Moraes is just basically going to outpoint a Sun Tzu on the feet. I think his takedowns defense is good enough to keep it upright, and he's just going to work that stand-up game and probably be impressive enough that the judges are going to lean his way and give it to him. So really close competitive decision, maybe a 29-28 type of decision, but I do lean towards Moraes. I think he's going to have a successful UFC debut, and we'll see where he goes from here, but you could never count out a Sun Tzu, of course. I mean, the guy's going to be game. He knows – the funny thing is here, he knows the hype around Moraes guaranteed, and he's going to want to bust up all that hype and just kind of get him out of contention right away. But Moraes is just too good to be held down, and I think he's going to probably fight through all that and get the W anyway. So Moraes is my official pick in what should be a great fight.
For me, this fight's all about whether or not it goes to the floor, because on the feet, I just don't think Rafael Sun Tzu can hang with Marlon Moraes. Moraes is so nasty in the stand-up. He's potentially one of the best strikers in the bantamweight division immediately. I mean, he's that good. And he hasn't just been beating up cans in World Series of Fighting. I mean, he went out there and he was taking care of business against several UFC veterans and basically a lot of the best fighters that weren't in the UFC at the time in the bantamweight division. And, I mean, he was making it look easy. This guy has a ton of power. His kicking game is ferocious. I think his boxing is underrated, and even his ground game is improving. I mean, this was a guy that transitioned to MMA from basically a pure striker, and he's been adding a lot more to his game. I mean, he even picked up a couple submissions during his title run. Now, against the Sun Tzu, I mean, this is a serious test. A lot of people want to kind of compare this to when Pedro Munhoz came over, from when he was the champion at RFA and taking on a Sun Tzu. But that was a lot longer ago, and I don't think Munhoz kind of had the striking credentials that Moraes had, especially in a fight that I expect to take place on the feet. Now, a Sun Tzu has excellent boxing. He's a great counter striker. But he doesn't pack a ton of power, so I just don't think Moraes is going to respect him on the feet that much. Where a Sun Tzu could have the advantage is with his elite ground game, but he doesn't have amazing wrestling either. I mean, his takedown accuracy is only 34%, so what I see happening here is I think this fight takes place on the feet. Moraes beats up a Sun Tzu a bit on the feet. Maybe a Sun Tzu gets frustrated and shoots for takedowns. I think Moraes stuffs those takedowns and keeps beating him up on the feet. I don't know if he'll get a finish because a Sun Tzu does have pretty good overall striking defense, and he is a crafty veteran, but I just think this is a huge opportunity for Marlon Moraes to not just make an impressive UFC debut, but immediately enter title contention. So my pick is going to be Marlon Moraes. Now, moving on to the main card. On pay-per-view, we have a welterweight contest between Eric Silva, who is 19-7 with one no contest, and Yancy Medeiros, who is 13-4 with one no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I open up Silva minus 180, the comeback on Medeiros at plus 140. And if you're looking at the line right now at Five Dimes, in fact, a little while ago when we started the podcast, it kind of started moving crazy. Right now, Medeiros is minus 150. The comeback on Silva is at plus 130. Now, early public action was coming in on Medeiros a little bit. Obviously, people have lost their trust and respect in Silva. That's unfortunate, man, because Eric Silva is such a talented fighter. I mean, he could be something special. It just hasn't amounted in the UFC thus far. I mean, a lot of people believe, including myself back in the day, that this guy had the skill to possibly be the next long reigning welterweight champion. Obviously, his cardio issues have just destroyed that. I mean, and his chin now as well, defensively. I mean, he's been clipped, he's been dropped, he's been knocked out. He just hasn't performed up to par, but offensively, the guy has skill, man. He's a great striker on the feet. He definitely has a good jiu-jitsu game. He's got an underrated wrestling game to go along with it. So offensively, the guy is a tough out. But defensively, it's what gets him in trouble, and his conditioning as well. Now, in his last fight, I should say, the guy looked great. I mean, I was surprised against Chagas that he looked in better shape. Silva did. You could tell. I mean, mentally, everything about him, he just seemed like he was a better version of himself, and he went out there and actually performed that way. His chin held up a little bit in a tough fight. His conditioning held up a little bit in a tough fight, and he ended up winning that fight late, but he ended up getting it done against a very game Chagas. So I think if that Silva shows up here, we're going to have a fight, because Medeiros, a lot of the same stuff I said about Medeiros or about Silva, you could really say about Medeiros at this point as well. Medeiros, he's got a lot of those same flaws, especially defensively. Offensively, he's a fun fighter to watch. I mean, the guy's been fighting. I mean, he used to fight before he got into UFC as high as heavyweight, for crying out loud. But he was dropping down weight class by weight class. He ended up getting a lot of fights at middleweight. And then before he made his UFC debut at lightweight, the UFC gave him some time to kind of drop all that weight and then have his debut. Now he's up to welterweight. And I think it's a good move considering, you know, obviously he won his last fight. And I think maybe, you know, it's just a healthier weight cut for him at 170 pounds compared to 155 pounds. But that's not Medeiros' issue, I don't think, at least. I mean, it's yet to be determined. But I think his issue is defensively, he's flawed. I mean, his body, if you drill him into body, as we've seen in the past, I mean, he's susceptible and he gets hurt to the body. He gets hurt to the head. I mean, he's a type of fighter that defensively, he's disappointing because his offensive output is so fun to watch. But then he gets tagged a couple times and he starts backpedaling and it's not a good look for him. So I think this is a fight where both guys are severely flawed that it could realistically go either way. So I do understand some of the action with Medeiros coming in early on from the public, because I do think that it's one of those fights that you could probably, since he, I think, has looked a little bit better recently, you could probably side with him a little bit more and respect him a little bit more than Silva, even though Silva had a pretty quality win in his last performance. But I'm not so sure. I mean, for me, I'm leaning a little bit more towards Silva. And I should say the recent action that was coming in on Medeiros today was more sharp action. So a lot of the sharp bettors out there are also agreeing with the public action early. And that's why the line is going crazy right now at a minus 150 price tag for Medeiros. But I'm not going to buy into any of it. I think that still, if Silva's conditioning and if the Silva showed up that fought Chagas shows up in this fight here, I think he's still the better offensive fighter, and I think both these guys are flawed enough that I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Silva. I think that Silva, in Brazil especially, he's going to be even more motivated. He's going to have the crowd behind him. I think he's probably going to pull it off. So this is an interesting fight. I do like Medeiros. I respect both these guys as well. I think they are warriors. There's no doubt. They don't have quit in them, but they are defensively flawed. So I'm not going to agree with the sharp action. I'm not going to agree with the public action on Medeiros right now. I'm going to actually side with Silva. I think that if he shows up like he did last fight in Brazil, he can win this fight. So I'll go his way. But how could you be confident, honestly, with all the flaws that you see both sides?
This is definitely the type of fight where anything crazy could happen, because both guys have pretty atrocious striking defense, below 50%. Both guys hit hard. Both guys are capable of, you know, just throwing down in wild, crazy brawls. And both guys have decent ground games. So, honestly, it could be anyone's game. It's just all about who lands those first couple big shots. The biggest difference for me is how good Eric Silva looked in his last fight against Rowan Chagas. I mean, that was a fight that he was actually the underdog in. People are really starting to fade him at that point. I mean, his chin is definitely not very good anymore these days, but he came in, he was aggressive, his conditioning looked better than it had ever looked in his entire career, and then he was able to not just win, but finish Chagas. So I was super impressed with that performance. Now, Medeiros, he looked strong as well. I mean, he moved up to the welterweight division from lightweight, and in his debut, he took on Sean Spencer, a veteran welterweight, and was able to finish him in the second round with a submission. So you have to give a lot of credit to Medeiros as well for looking strong in his move up to the welterweight division. Now, overall, though, I mean, Eric Silva, I think he just hits a little bit harder. And Medeiros, while Silva's chin is super vulnerable, I think Medeiros is vulnerable everywhere. As Nick mentioned, I mean, he's been hurt to the body multiple times. He's been beat up in the head, although he's a lot tougher to send crashing down with headshots. But I think Silva has a huge bullseye just about anything above the trunks with Medeiros, and he's going to do some serious damage because Medeiros just leaves so many openings with how wild he can be. I think what happens here is Silva hurts Medeiros and then just swarms him and either looks for the knockout on the feet or potentially the submission on the ground that could be open when Medeiros is, you know, rocked or hurt. So I'm going to side with Eric Silva here in Brazil. Now moving up to the middleweight division, we have another intriguing potential stand-up battle between Paulo Borrachinha, who is 9-0, and taking on Olawale Bangbose, who is 6-2. Now, Nick, where'd you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Borrachinha -215, the comeback on Bambosi at +165. Right now, looking over five dimes. Borrachinha actually is -280. The comeback on Bambosi is actually +240. So more action come in Borrachinha's way. This is a tough fight. I mean, I do get it because Borrachinha is definitely the guy that people want to see succeed, or the more hyped fighter as well. He was a tough Brazil vet. He's a very aggressive fighter. Standing is definitely his best attribute. He's got big power. He's aggressive, but he does have some wrestling and sub game as well. So he is a well-rounded fighter. He definitely has some flaws though. And cardio is what cost him on the show, honestly. And that could be a factor here as well. Cause I mean, Bosey's going to come to fight. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's an athletic fighter that has explosive power on the feet. He's basically a KO artist. I mean, he's a Taekwondo black belt. That's his background in striking. But he does have some decent takedown defense. Now, he has been put on his back, but he scrambles up relatively well when you do that. So this probably ends up being a striking affair. And if that's the case, it is going to be close. I mean, Bangbose, again, his striking is really good. He switches things up on the feet. I mean, so he's not southpaw. He's not orthodox. He gives you different looks. And with his speed, with his power, with his precision as well, he can definitely do some damage against most. Now, Borrachinha, again, he's an aggressive fighter that has a ton of power as well. So these guys, if they slug it out, I mean, it really could go either way. I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Borrachinha's way because I do think that he has a little bit more upside to him. I think that we're going to probably see him mix things up, look for some takedowns, and probably get one or two, even if they're brief, and that could decide this fight, especially if he hits the scorecards. Now, of course, with this much power and this much offense on the feet, I doubt it probably goes all three rounds, especially with Borrachinha. I mean, like we said, he does gas a little bit. I'm expecting that cardio to be a little bit better because it seems like on the Ultimate Fighter, I give these guys a little bit of a break. I mean, that's just such a tough scenario for all these fighters that we see conditioning come in to become a big factor on the show as well with all the weight cutting they have to do and whatnot. So outside of the show, they should be a little bit better in that area. And Borrachinha, he's one of those guys that I think is going to probably have that effect. So his cardio is going to be a little bit better, and he should be able to go three rounds as well. So we'll see how this plays out, but it should be a fun fight. I mean, I do think that more times than not, it's going to stay up standing, and both these guys, I mean, with the ability they have on the feet, it's going to be a war. So I'm looking forward to it, but my pick officially will be Borashina. I would caution though, as far as a bet goes, laying the juice here, because I mean, almost 3-1 right now. I don't think it's worth it. You have striker versus striker, and both these guys can end the fight. So just be cautious here. It's another dog or pass situation, but my official pick will be Borashina to get the win.
Yeah, this fight is anybody's guess. Both guys are extremely aggressive and dangerous strikers. Borashina, I mean, he can get really wild and crazy. Fengbose, I mean, he looks to pick his spots a little bit more because he has a little bit more pure one punch power, but I mean, Borashina, I mean, this guy in his UFC debut against Gareth McClellan, I mean, he just swarmed his opponent, showed no respect for his game whatsoever, and then just thunderous barrage of strikes and eventually put him out. I mean, his current significant strike landed rate is 17.1 per minute. I mean, that's completely unsustainable, but that's what happens when you have just a vicious, wild, crazy knockout TKO victory in your UFC debut. Now, Bengbose, he's definitely, like I said, a little bit more measured with his approach, but he can really toss out some unique, unorthodox attacks, some spinning attacks, and he does everything with power. So if he can connect against Borashina, if Borashina is being really wild and sloppy, then there could be a serious opportunity for Bengbose to do some massive damage. Now, in this fight, I think what's going to happen is Bengbose might be picking his spots, and Borashina is just going to look to swarm. And if Bengbose does not connect with that big opening that he sees coming in, I think Borashina just overwhelms him. I mean, this guy just has so much confidence in himself and just doesn't care about what his opponents are doing. And I think that plays to his advantage here, that kind of disrespect he has for what his opponents are capable of doing. And I just don't know if Bengbose is good enough to overcome that. He just doesn't have enough other parts of his game, like with wrestling and submissions and clinch work, that maybe somebody could take Borashina out of his realm. And I expect Borashina to just overwhelm Bengbose and probably get another TKO victory. So my pick is going to be Borashina. Now, sticking with the middleweight division, we have a pair of veterans duking it out as Vitor Belfort, who is 25-13, takes on Nate Marquardt, who is 38-16-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Belfort -185, the comeback on Marquardt at +145. Right now it's Belfort -160, the comeback on Marquardt is +140. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Early action did come in on Marquardt. Now we're seeing some buyback on Belfort. So there is two-way action at the sports books, and it'll continue. I mean, I think it's going to probably stay ballpark where it is now. It's tough though. Another tough fight because you got two guys, one age 40 in Belfort, one age 38 in Marquardt. And if you look at their MMA experience, they're older, both of them are beyond, I mean, that age for sure in fight years, because they've both been involved in so many great wars throughout their careers. I mean, just these guys are just true veterans. I mean, champions, just everything. What could you say about Belfort? We all know, I mean, from the beginning days of UFC, I mean, for crying out loud, Belfort's been around. And of course, Marquardt, you could say a lot of the same stuff about him as well. So this is two veterans that are trying to stay relevant, and maybe their job in the UFC period. I know Belfort, his contract, I believe this is his last fight, and if I'm not mistaken, on his UFC contract. Then he's going to have an option to go probably to Bellator or stay in the UFC. So we'll see how that plays out. But obviously, he's going to want to get this win. It's important to him, and it's in his obviously home country as well. So there's a lot of good things, motivation going for Belfort here in this spot. And I am going to give him the slight edge here. I mean, both of these guys are talented. Obviously, I think Marquardt's a little bit more well-rounded than Belfort, even though Belfort, a lot of people can argue, hey, he's a jiu-jitsu black belt as well. He just doesn't use it. I mean, outside of almost catching John Jones, you don't really see Belfort looking to submit people. He's explosive on the feet. He's fast. I mean, he has the ability to knock you out with his hands or his feet. He's proven that time and time again. Of course, say what you are about the USADA testing now, then Belfort has changed definitely. I mean, since he's had to clean up his act a little bit in that regard. So is he that explosive athlete that we've seen pre-USADA? No, but he still has enough left in the tank and he's dangerous enough that he could still beat a lot of middleweights on the feet, even though he hasn't looked his best right now. And he's definitely a declining fighter. You can say a lot of the same things about Mark Court, like I just mentioned. I think this is going to come down to if Belfort can finish him early or not, because if Belfort gets the job done, it probably is in the first round, maybe early second round. If it's Mark Court, I think it happens a little bit later in the fight. Belfort does have the worst gas tank of the two. Mark Court probably does have the better wrestling, and he's going to be able to get top position as the fight goes on. So it's all early survival for Mark Court. If he's able to survive early, he's going to have a really good chance to win this fight. But if he doesn't, obviously Belfort's going to win the fight. So it's Belfort finishing early, or I think Mark Court late. I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Belfort. I think Mark Court is a bit chinny for my liking. Not that Belfort's not, but I still trust Belfort a little bit more early on in this fight. And I think he is the better pure striker in this spot as well. So I'll lean a little bit towards Belfort in this. But again, you cannot have confidence in either one of these guys. I mean, look what they've been through throughout their careers. And even though Mark Court, honestly, recently has looked a little bit better, so you can make a case for Mark Court getting the win here, I still have to side with Belfort in his home country. So that's the way I'm going to go.
Both of these guys have their flaws, especially as they've gotten older. They're chinnier. They've been getting finished by an increasing regularity. But I will say that Nate Marquardt has shown a little bit more fight. Vitor Belfort has faced a little bit tougher opposition. But, man, when he gets down, he stays down. Nate Marquardt, on the other hand, you know, he lost a tough decision to Sam Alvey. But, you know, he bounced back with second round knockout victories over guys like CB Dalloway and Tandon McCrory. So I think unless Vitor Belfort just takes Marquardt out quickly, then Marquardt's just going to, you know, weather that early storm and then just dominate Belfort. I mean, Marquardt's a guy that at his peak was a title challenger in the middleweight division for against Anderson Silva, and was the Strikeforce welterweight champion. He beat Tyron Woodley, for Christ's sake. So in this fight, Belfort has those quick hands, the aggressive boxing. He's got power. But Marquardt has power too. And what I think happens here is as long as Belfort, the only real chance for Belfort is to swarm Marquardt early, land something nasty, and just take him out as quick as possible. Because if that doesn't happen, Marquardt is going to weather that storm and then either outwork Belfort on the feet, or he might even get top position because Belfort on his back, I mean, he basically throws up desperation arm bars and then eats a ton of shots. And I can see Marquardt finishing him with ground and pound or finishing him on the feet as Belfort starts to tire. So my pick's going to be Nate Marquardt, actually. Now, dropping down to the women's strawweight division, we have Claudio Gadelha, who is 13-2, taking on Carolina Kovalkiewicz, who is 10-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Gadelha -380, the comeback on Kovalkiewicz at +260. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it is Gadelha at -300. Kovalkiewicz is at +250. So line margins have tightened up. And there is going to be two way action in this fight as well. This fight's, I think, pretty clear here. To me, Gadelha is the best 115 pounder in the world, especially in three round fights. She's not going to lose, at least right now, a three round fight in the UFC. I think she is by far the best takedown artist in the weight class. I think she's by far the best. Well, I don't want to say the best striker, because obviously that's not the case, but I'm saying the best well-rounded. I mean, her skill set overall, I think she's put together better than any other 115 pound female fighter in the UFC. And she's capable of dictating where the fight goes, capable of beating you on the feet, capable of beating you on the ground. She's got a little bit of submission skill, everything. I mean, she's a very complete fighter. Unfortunately for her, she'd be wearing that strap if it wasn't for, I mean, her cardio is what her flaw is. And since this is a three round fight, she'll be okay. I think she'll win the first two rounds here and then maybe lose the third round. But outside of that, I mean, that's what I see. It's going to be like a 29-28 type of decision, maybe even a 30-27 type of decision here. Kovalkiewicz is a really good fighter. I mean, I think obviously she's had quality wins, even against the champion, Jan Jacek. She's actually performed relatively well, especially as the fight progressed a little bit. I mean, she has good conditioning. She pushes a high pace. She's a well-rounded fighter in her own right. I just don't think she's up to the level of Gadella quite yet. And I think that even on the feet, that's where her best attribute here is in this fight, matchup wise, style wise against Gadella. She's still going to even struggle there, and Gadella's probably going to plan her on her back, even though she has a decent takedown defense. So it's really Gadella's fight to win or lose. If she gasses, if she takes this fight very lightly and gasses after the first round, she's going to lose this fight. But I don't see that happening. I think it's Gadella's fight to win or lose. And honestly, like I said, she is the best three-round fighter at 115 pounds in the female division. I don't see anybody beating her in a non-title fight or non-main event fight for a little while. So the pick is Gadella for me.
If this was a five-round fight, I think it would be a lot closer because, as Nick mentioned, cardio has been a major problem for Claudia Gadella. But with it being a three-round fight, and Claudia Gadella being so physically strong and dangerous and imposing, I'm just having a lot of difficulty seeing Kavalkevich being able to win more than one round. I expect Claudia Gadella to come out hot and get takedowns, get top position, and just kind of grind Kavalkevich out over those first two rounds. She is extremely physically strong, very aggressive, and while Kavalkevich is an excellent striker with some of the best volume, I mean, she went toe-to-toe with Joanna and even had Joanna in a little bit of trouble late in that fight. I mean, and despite giving up some reach and height and everything, I mean, she went toe-to-toe with her for five straight rounds. That's not something that Gadella was able to do. Gadella dominated the first two rounds against Jung Jacek, and then she faded in the last three, wasn't able to get takedowns, and basically eight jabs and straight punches for the following three rounds. But I just think what happens here is Gadella is able to win those first two rounds, and then maybe she still has enough gas left in the tank to win the third as well. But if she doesn't, it's not the end of the world because Kavalkevich doesn't have a lot of finishing power, and Gadella should be able to just survive the third round after winning the first two. I think her move to America has done her well. She's been training at Jackson's a lot and in New Mexico, and I expect her to look really good here, possibly the best we've ever seen, and I expect Gadella to win and probably win impressively just with a better overall skill set. Now moving on to the main event of the evening, we have a featherweight title unification bout between current champion Jose Aldo, who is 26-2, and interim champion Max Holloway, who is 17-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I open Aldo -130 to come back on Holloway even money. And right now, recently, actually, currently flipped at 5 times. It's -115 for Holloway. The comeback on Aldo is at -105. But looking across the Don Best screen, it's still pick 'em out there -115 at Bookmaker. Pinnacle actually has Aldo favored at -112, even money comeback on Holloway. So in Vegas, it's actually -125 for Aldo still. So this is one fight that it depends on where you go. I mean, who's going to be favored. And it'll continue to flip back and forth. So we could see Aldo very well likely to flip and by fight time be the favorite again, where we could see Holloway ending closing this light favorite. So we'll see. There's going to be a tremendous amount of two-way action coming in on this fight, and it should be one of the best fights of the year. There's no way that this fight, in my opinion, hopefully we don't jinx it, but it's a letdown because you got two guys that are going to want to stand and bang that are very skilled fighters that are two of the best strikers, obviously, at 145 pounds and in the UFC on the roster, period. Aldo, I mean, his resume speaks for itself. Outside of the Conor McGregor loss, which for him, I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for him because it was such a bad loss for a guy with that kind of talent. So it definitely puts a stain on his record despite all the accomplishments that he's had. I mean, the way the mental warfare that Conor McGregor played in that fight definitely had an impact on Aldo, obviously. Now, he bounced back since then, and he looked great against Frankie Edgar, which we all know Frankie Edgar is one of the all-time greats. In fact, in my list, he's up towards the top of the all-time pound-for-pound list Frankie Edgar is in the UFC roster. So, I mean, Aldo had a great win over a quality competitor after a loss like that to McGregor. That's what we needed to see if he still had, you know, the fight left in him. And he performed well. But I think a big part of that was even though Frankie's still winning fights, even against his fight against Yair Rodriguez, he is on a bit of a decline. Frankie Edgar is not the same fighter that he once was. Again, that does not mean he's going to lose fights because he's still that much better than most guys at 145 pounds or whatnot. So it was still a good win, but I don't think he fought Aldo, or Aldo fought Edgar, I should say, in his prime or at his peak. He's fighting a decline type of Edgar. So take that for what it's worth. I mean, it was still a good fight. Aldo clearly won that fight, but I'm not quite sold yet. I mean, mentally, I think Aldo's still a little bit damaged from the Conor McGregor fight. On the other hand, we've seen Holloway recently just put on tremendous performances. I mean, he's surprising me how good he has become. And really, he's been putting in the work. His confidence is at an all-time high. He knows he belongs amongst the better fighters, amongst the champions at 145 pounds or in the UFC period. I mean, the guy is a talented fighter. His last loss was actually to Conor McGregor as well. And he's one of the few guys that Conor McGregor had problem finishing. I mean, he won that fight by decision, and most of it was because Conor McGregor was actually taking Holloway down to the ground. And we don't see that too often for McGregor using his wrestling. But in that fight, because of injury and whatnot, we won't get into it. But still, I mean, he did that. So that was his last loss. And then outside of that, he's went on a tear, Holloway has, and against quality competition. I mean, if you look at some of the names on his resume, he beat Swanson, he beat Stevens, he beat Lamas. And to me, his win over – I should mention Oliveira as well, but his win over Pettis in his last fight was – who have we seen do that to Anthony Pettis? So tremendous victory there. I mean, of course, Pettis at 145 pounds struggled to make weight, hasn't looked his best for sure. So moving back up for Pettis, that's one thing. But still, Holloway, his persistent pressure, I mean – and his confidence right now at an all-time high. He's been calling out Aldo. He's been trying to play some of the same mental warfare that Conor McGregor did against Aldo. Of course, not to the same level, so it's not going to impact him as much. But still, I think mentally right now, you got to give the edge to Holloway. As far as conditioning goes, both these guys are always in decent shape. Aldo used to start having some issues from time to time, but he seems like he's addressed some of those conditioning issues as well, and he's able to go five strong in most cases. But can he keep up with the pace of Holloway? Holloway's tough. Even though Aldo can finish fights, I think in this case, he's probably going to struggle to finish a guy like Holloway, because even if Holloway gets clipped, his chin is solid, his conditioning is not going to let him down, and I think he's just going to keep a pace up on Aldo that is going to be a little bit too much. So this is going to be a close fight. I'm expecting Holloway to kind of sneak away with a very competitive decision and maybe even possibly get a finish late as the fight goes, if he does put the pace on Aldo that he really gets worn down a little bit and can't keep up with it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do think that Holloway's pace in general will do enough to win him the fight on the scorecards. Even if it is in Brazil, I think he won't be denied. So surprising to me as well, because at one point I didn't think anybody at 145 pounds would touch Aldo for a long time. And Aldo does have enough left in the tank that, again, he's going to beat most guys. I just think this fight, stylistic matchup for Aldo, is going to be a tough one. Mentally, I'm not sure where he's at right now, and I know where Holloway is. He's a very confident fighter coming into this fight, and he's going to probably get it done. So I'm going to pick Holloway to win this fight. It should be a great fight.
You won't find somebody that's been more impressed with Max Holloway over the last few years on this crazy run through the featherweight division than me. But, man, I just think this fight is going to be a really, really tough test for him. I know that he's passed everything with flying colors so far, but Jose Aldo is so nasty. I mean, this guy, his quick twitch muscles, everything is so quick and so explosive and so dangerous with him. I don't know how Holloway's going to respond. I mean, this is a completely different type of fighter than anyone he's ever faced. Now, I mean, I guess you can say the same thing with Aldo against Holloway, but I mean, Aldo's been in there against guys that are high volume strikers that are really aggressive and accurate. And you got to remember, you know, even though Holloway is a big fighter in the featherweight division, he doesn't have a crazy reach. He fights long, but he doesn't have a super long reach. Aldo's actually got an inch in reach on him. I think Aldo's leg kicks are going to be very important in this fight as long as he sticks with them. Those are going to be the strike that he's able to hit Holloway with without really getting hit back. I expect Holloway to be constantly stalking down Aldo, putting a lot of pressure on him, but Aldo is so good when his opponents are moving towards him. I mean, look what happened. I know Nick brought up that Frankie Edgar fight and saying that Edgar was, you know, on the decline, but Edgar sure didn't look like he was on a decline against Yair Rodriguez, one of the best up-and-coming fighters in the featherweight division. I mean, that was a one-sided beatdown. So this time around, I think when Edgar was fighting Aldo, he was stalking him down repeatedly, and Aldo just kept popping him with jabs, popping him with kicks, straight punches, bloodied up his nose. I mean, it was just 5 rounds of Edgar getting repeatedly frustrated and trying to use all his movement, trying to use all his boxing techniques, and he just couldn't do it. And I think it's going to be a bit of a similar situation here. Holloway has the volume. Holloway has the speed, the endurance. But Aldo went 5 rounds no problem last time. He was conservative with his energy output and effective, extremely effective with... I mean, this guy... his striking accuracy is elite. His striking defense is elite. So what I think happens here is Aldo just lands the better, crisper shots. Holloway stalks him down repeatedly, and maybe that could give him some sway with the judges by being the aggressor throughout the bout. But I think with Aldo just pumping a jab in his face and landing leg kicks and just mixing things up, I think that he's going to do some damage to Holloway that Holloway just hasn't felt before. So I'm siding with Jose Aldo. I think that he unifies the titles and walks away as still the featherweight champion. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC 212. Our premium bets for the event will be released this Friday following the weigh-in, so stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Oddsbreaker premium member. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOBPremium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to a free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Times Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this week.